Come on, then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable. On 95.7, the game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs. Off her step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
What up, what up, what up? We thank you for tuning in to Warriors Roundtable here on 95.7 El Partido. Kevin Danner, Gary St. Jean with you. Remind you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And as always, later on the show, we will be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we take the seventh caller. That's later on the show. That number, we'll give it to you later. But for purposes right now, just so you got it in the back of your mind, 415-523-4652. That'll be later on the show. If you want to talk Dubs with Saint and I, that's 888-957-9570. And there is a lot to get to this week. Not a lot of it good, Gary. It has been a rough go of things since the last time we hit the airwaves in mid-December. Let's start with this. The Warriors are back at 500, and this last month has been no bueno.
Well, Kev, Happy New Year to all the Warrior fans and to you, too. I don't know that Santa was real good to us, but I think that's the reality of where this team is. And I'm talking in realism, not optimism. I don't think we're going to be looking at this team and saying they're going to beat out OKC or a healthy Dallas with Luka and Kyrie playing, Denver. Houston has shocked me, Memphis. I think we're in a ballpark. I don't know if the Clippers can stay up there, but I'm talking about Sacramento, the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Spurs. And what am I talking about? That's 8, 9, and 10. And those teams are probably going to be in the vicinity of 500. So the last couple games, you're kind of looking at this and saying, holy moly, we got blown out by Sacramento and didn't play well last night. But then you look at the Kings, and they were getting clobbered for about 10 days, and Mike Brown loses his job, and then they win five in a row. The Lakers were really playing well, and then they go to Texas, and they just lay an egg. They just play terrible against Dallas and got beat by Houston. And I just don't know if the Spurs are capable of keep playing at the 500 level. So that's my New Year's analysis of the Western Conference. And I think it's just something we're going to have to live with.
Yeah, the Warriors very much looking like a play-in team right now. And look, as you mentioned, 8, 9, 10, and the way the last couple of games have gone, obviously small sample size, but yeah, they would certainly take 8th right now. But there is plenty of season to get through. You know what this reminds me of, Saint? This stretch, this 3-3 homestand, or really kind of the 8 games out of 9 at home, was the homestand in December and January last year, where they came into it 15-15. You look at the teams on the schedule. You got Miami, who was kind of just bumbling around. Dallas hadn't turned that corner yet. You have Denver, Toronto, New Orleans. And you go 2-5, and you got mollywopped by the Pelicans by 36. You lose to a bad Toronto team by 15. Denver, you blow the 18-point game, and Jonathan Kuminga comes out after the game and kind of puffs his chest a little bit about how he feels about kind of his rotation minutes. It kind of reminds me of that, because you're coming up. The frustrating thing about this one is you're coming off a great win at Minnesota. Yeah. And then you have 8 of 9 at home. You don't leave California. And then, yeah, you have some rough games. But then you have two really nice back-to-back wins over Philadelphia and Memphis. And then you back it up with these absolute stinkers these last couple of games to middling teams. Now, Sacramento is hooping right now, but no Jimmy Butler. Coming off a back end of a back-to-back where they played 58 minutes in Sacramento the night before. And that's kind of the frustrating thing about this.
Well, you kind of say, you know, well, who are the Warriors? Which team are they? And, you know, the inconsistency of, say, like Buddy Hield. Everybody that was jumping through the ceiling here thinking, wow, you know, we got this dynamite three-point shooter, and then he goes like 6 for 30-something. And then Schroeder comes in and had been playing terrific for the Nets and just hasn't shot the ball well. And, you know, you lose Kuminga, and that's life in the NBA with the injuries. And, you know, you got a number of guys down right now, and you're looking for guys to step up. You've been playing a heavy rotation. And there's an old adage when you're coaching. Players tell you who to play. Now, you know how much you're going to play Steph and Draymond. But the rest of these guys, you know, if they're not bringing it, and I listen, I felt Steve Kerr's passion after the last game, because I think effort is a learned skill. And as a coach, if your team plays hard and you get beat by a better team, you move on to the next one. But you're just getting outworked. You know, the effort wasn't at the level you want it to be. And that's frustrating. And, you know, I get tired of people saying, well, you know, we're not making shots. Yeah, you weren't making shots, but you can defend, you can rebound, you can get loose balls, you can get in the open floor. Too many players start playing defense when they make a couple shots. That's not the way it works with the really good teams. You walk on the floor, I'm watching OKC and Cleveland, these guys are getting after it. And that's a pride factor. And you know, it's a belief in each other. And it just hasn't been where it needs to be. And I don't have really good news for you, because I think Detroit may make the playoffs in the East.
Oh,
they
yeah.
got quite a team. You and I will talk about Cunningham, and they lost Ivy, but they still got Durin, who's as big as an aircraft carrier. And then you got a Pacers team that's playing really, really well. So there's no sympathy. You keep going, but you got to find your way. And it means maybe Draymond and Steph, you know, and listen, when Steph spoke last night, we haven't seen much of that in his career. That's frustration.
Yeah.
You know, how many times has Steph had two games where he didn't get an assist?
Never. Not until last night.
Yeah. So there's frustration there, because there's a lot of pride in this franchise, and they've had a fabulous decade of play. And, you know, they expect better from everybody.
If you want to vent your frustrations, 888-957-9570. We'll be your armchair psychologist here for you for the next 52 minutes or so. But to the point you made about Steve Kerr last night and his frustration, someone asked him, and I don't know who asked the question, about Trayce Jackson-Davis, because Trayce had a good game statistically, 19 points. And Steve Kerr's like, who cares if he had 19 points? We just got mollywopped.
Yeah. I love that word. That's a great word.
He didn't say exactly like that. I'm paraphrasing here.
Well, but I still love it. It has a good ring to it. But you know what? That's a guy. I told you the stories about when he played. And so I'm on the other bench. And, you know, Steve was a heck of a shooter and smart and a competitor. But a lot of times he'd get matched up with the two guard. Now, I was a stubborn mule. And he's trying to guard Mitch Richmond. I said, he can't do that. So I'd call 42, which means we're going to post Mitch in the box set down in the right box. And Steve be all red in the face, and he'd be banging him and shouldering him and all this kind of thing. And Mitch would score, and I'd go right back to him again. And let me tell you what, Steve Kerr's a wonderful person, but he's a fighter. He's a competitor.
Yep.
And he wasn't pleased. And then, frankly, I don't blame him one iota.
Yeah, we actually have that soundbite, so let's play it. Mark Grandy, our second favorite Oregon Duck behind Tuan Porter, the Reno Bighorns legend, will play this soundbite, this little back and forth, this exchange about Steve Kerr not caring about Trayce Jackson-Davis's 19 points.
I mean, I can't sit here after that and be excited about anything. Like, I mean, he scored 19 points, great. He's having a good season. But who the hell cares if we're not competitive? If we don't have a competitive spirit and a fight and a willingness to compete through everything, then I'm not going to sit here and talk about it. Hey, so-and-so had some points. Great. Who cares? It's about us competing and being the Warriors, being the team we've been for 10 years and not feeling sorry for ourselves. That's what I'm thinking about tonight.
Boy, I love that. That fires me up. I can just remember going into the Chicago Stadium, the old place, And you'd look out there and it'd be Pippen and Michael and Grant and just go on, and Steve would be there, and I'd look down and see Phil Jackson and Tex Winter and Johnny Bock, and I mean they just had a phenomenal team.
Yeah.
And Steve was a role player, but he was a great role player. And he was a winner. And you could just feel that. I mean, it just takes me back a while ago to the old days. And, you know, we've been blessed. There hasn't been a lot of games where you just say, geez, you know, they just took it to us. And we didn't have an answer. We didn't come back at them. We just said, okay, we're just one of those nights we're missing shots. Well, that's a bunch of baloney. You know, get on the glass, get on the floor. Let's get out in the open floor. And they just... It was kind of an ugly game.
Yeah, it certainly was not pretty. Let's hit the phone lines again if you want to hit us up. 888-957-9570. David is in Concord. What's up, David?
I just want to say that we gave Trace Jackson Davis the starting role and bench Looney, who's been producing, and that's a good thing. We should bench Benny Hill and play Moody, who's always been producing too. Moody is the answer, I think. Put Moody in. And let's develop him because he shows nothing but promise. Every time he says it's hustle, he makes his point, he makes his baskets.
Hey, David. You know what? You must have heard Kevin and I talking a lot. Great job by you. Listen, I think on this road trip, just because of who's hurt, I think he's going to get minutes. And like you, I believe he's going to play well. And this guy's been patient. He's when he's played well. And you don't know when the door is going to open, when the coach is going to point at you to get in there. And I sure am pulling for him because I see a game there. I feel it. And so I think his opportunity is going to come, and I hope he can step up.
He is the ultimate professional. I just heard this story about Moses Moody on a recent road trip that I went with the team filling in. His draft day, right, just to speak to his professionalism, biggest day of his life, he gets picked 14th overall. They have like a 4:15 a.m. flight or something. Like, he has to be down the hotel lobby the next morning at 4:15 a.m. Warriors tell him, be down at 4:15 a.m. and we're going to, you know, take you to the airport, you do the press conference, all that thing. He is down there with his entire family at 4 a.m., 15 minutes before he needs to be there. And that just kind of sets the tone for this guy. I mean, I'm just reading a story in the San Francisco Chronicle. He did an internship with a real estate company or something like that over the summer. And he didn't want to miss the last day of the internship when he had to go to like his a friend's birthday party in Arkansas. So he took a red-eye flight to make the friend's birthday party because he didn't want to miss the last day of the internship. I mean, this guy doesn't need to be doing an unpaid internship in the summer for nobody, right? But it's just
Kev, doesn't that tell
all
you
about
though,
his business.
Yeah, but doesn't that tell you about the way his mom and dad brought him up?
Yeah,
you
oh,
can
yeah.
feel that.
Ray's right.
You know, you just can. There's a quiet confidence. There's a belief in yourself. There's a respect. I always thought, you know, in all the years that you know, running the draft and all that, when these guys would have to come out and get here for like a noon press conference and they'd be back in New York. So, yeah, that's what time they had to leave because they had to get a 7 a.m. flight out of Kennedy or LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And that doesn't surprise me at all with him. I remember talking to Eric Musselman about him. And
oh, yeah.
And he ranted and raved about him. He said he's one of the most mature, solid guys that he's ever coached. And I you know, you and I are in the fan club. I think things are going to come together. It
yeah.
doesn't happen, you know. Sometimes it doesn't happen the first year, or the first year or two. But sometimes you get a chance, and you play so gosh darn well that now they can't take you out of the lineup. They got to keep playing you.
Yeah, well, we're kind of running up on a break, so we'll take the break here. Come on back, take more of your calls, give away a pair of tickets right here on 95.7 The Game.
Featuring special guests and in-depth analysis. Authentic moments live here, only on NBC Sports Bay Area.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that,
chicken!
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
All right, folks, it's Educators Night at Chase Center on Saturday, January 18th, as the Dubs take on the Washington Wizards, presented by Kaiser Permanente. All fans get an Educators Night t-shirt. First 10,000 fans get a Warriors mini backpack. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives are standing by, and it's time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. Call the contest line right now at 415-523-4652, and if you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on, and we will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. But to get back to the business at hand, the Warriors 18-18 after a 16-point loss to Miami. That followed a 30-point loss to the Sacramento Kings on Sunday night. We'll get to the Sacramento game in a little bit. But I just wanted to get your thoughts, Saint, quickly. We've talked about all the wrong things that went wrong for Golden State. Now, Miami did have something to do with that Heat victory. And specifically, Miami's zone defense really gave the Dubs fits. Now, we're going to hear from Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr was asked about Miami's zone defense. And then, saying, I want to get your thoughts on Miami's zone. So, without further ado, here's Steve Kerr talking about Miami's zone D.
Well, Miami runs more zone than anybody in the league. You know, we knew they would play zone, especially coming off that double overtime game last night. So we were prepared for it. We got good looks against it all night. This was not a poor execution game. 28 assists and 10 turnovers. We're just 14 for 50 from the field. We missed a lot of wide open shots. So part of the reason they played zone was to preserve their legs, and it wasn't that the zone was shutting us down. It was the zone allowed them to rest a little bit after such a difficult night. And what the zone does too is it just takes away a little bit of your offensive pattern and the shots maybe that you're used to getting. And so you end up, you know, if you play zone, you give up some shots, but sometimes those are the shots you're willing to give up. And so there was some of that at play as well.
Well, Kev, that's why he used to do TV. That was a great breakdown by Steve.
Yeah.
And he's right. They did have good looks. And, you know, against the zone, and we used to use this with Nelly back in 89 and 90. A single fist meant a one-guard front. We played 1-3-1. Two fists up was a 2-3. That's exactly what they did last night. And they had really good matchup in their areas, playing man in an area. And I thought the Warriors could have got the ball in the middle more from a wing, not necessarily from the top. And then when you get it to the middle, you look down and you look weak. So you look down to the dunker spot if a guy is there, and you might have a guy weak side in the rotation of the zone. And Steve's right. I mean, the shots weren't terrible, but you know the way to get them out of a zone? Make shots.
Yeah.
That'll take them out of it. And I said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The three best coaches in the league was the Olympic head coach and his two assistant coaches. Who am I talking about? Steve Kerr, Spo, and Lou. Those are the best three in the league for me. And yeah. That was a heck of a nice piece of coaching by them. And where are you vulnerable when you play a zone? You really are vulnerable on the boards. And I didn't see the Warriors capitalize on that at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Golden State has generally been a really good rebounding
yes.
team, and Miami is not the biggest team by any stretch of the imagination.
True.
Now, Bam Adebayo can really dominate the glass. He's a good rebounder. But this profiled as a game where Golden State could really take advantage of second-chance opportunities, and unfortunately for Golden State, it just didn't happen. They had 9 offensive rebounds. They had 11 offensive rebounds. They won the second chance points battle 13-11, and they did have a 52-48 glass edge, but it just didn't feel like a big factor in this one.
You know, making shots can energize you, and they can deflate you when you're missing them. And that's the way I felt about last night. You miss, poor me. Miss, poor me. And I never saw any, say, you know, we're gonna win this game. We're gonna outwork them. We're gonna really attack the rim. I didn't feel any of that at all.
Yeah, I mean, now, they did climb back from 15 down to get within 87-86. They got the ball, and then they just tried to go with a couple of, like, home run shots. Buddy Hield tried to get into his bag, break out his DIY kit, as Mark Jones might say, when he was 2 of 8 from three. Then Jovic hits back-to-back threes, and boa noite, as Gui Santos might say, that's a good night in Portuguese.
Well, hey, you know what? That guy there, that young kid's got a game coming for the future.
Yeah.
He's a nice player.
Yes, he does. But,
you know, you can say poor me, and, you know, you didn't have Porzingis, you didn't have Peyton, you didn't have Kuminga, but that's life in the NBA. And you got to step up, and you got to get it done, especially on your home court, because now you're going on the road, and it's a lot harder.
Yeah, no, it is. Hey, Kristaps Porzingis would definitely help this team. That's for sure. But so from one bad loss to another, because we just love misery here on 95.7 The Game. We should shout out Brad in San Jose. He is the winner of that pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. So
good for him.
Congratulations to Brad in the 408. But Sacramento, and this was coming off a win the night before over the Memphis Grizzlies, who were playing really well. No Ja Morant, but they still had Jaren Jackson Jr. They still had Desmond Bane. They still have a very deep team. Jalen Wells, by the way, might be in the Rookie of the Year conversation. This guy was number 39 overall, and he played at Sonoma State a couple of years ago. Quite the rise for him. But, I mean, there was the atrocious first quarter where they got outscored 36-21. But to me, where they really lost the game is they start the second quarter on a 15-4 run. It's 40-36. And then Wiggins gambles on an inbounds pass. It compromises the defense. Sabonis gets an and-one layup. And then Green and Wiggins miss layups that lead to two Keegan Murray threes. You get those 5-0, those 5-point swings where you miss a layup and they get a three occasionally. But it happened twice in the span of 90 seconds. And all of a sudden, the lead's back up to 15, and at halftime, it's 24. And at that point, I mean, they just weren't coming back.
Well, I always kid around and tell people, you want to meet my friend, Mr. Mo. They say, who the heck is that? I said, that's Mr. Momentum.
Yeah.
And a couple plays like that can deflate any momentum that you're even thinking about. And if you turn around and make good plays and make a couple of threes, you got the momentum on your side. You got the crowd. And that's how quick it can turn around in the NBA.
Yeah. I what do you think of the job that Doug Christie is doing? They're on a roll there in Sacramento. I think we could all agree, look, Mike Brown deserved better than what he got in Sacramento.
Yeah.
I mean, he only led them to the playoffs for the first time in 17 years, was named NBA Coach of the Year, then took them to another winning season last year. It was a deep Western Conference, so they finished ninth. And then they lose five in a row, and there were some really bad losses there, like to the Detroit Pistons. That was a really tough one to lose, but still, he deserved better than that.
Yeah, I was up there to see Greg and the Lakers, and they beat him twice. And you mentioned that Detroit game. And let me share with you. Nelly told me this years ago, we all got hired to be fired. And sometimes is it fair and not fair? We all know that things, you know, just don't go right sometimes. Listen, there's no debate. Mike Brown is a fantastic guy, a very bright basketball guy, and did a great job up there. And they had high expectations. Re-signing Monk, getting DeRozan, giving Mike an extension. They really, and I like their team. I really do, Kev. Now, they don't have any shot-blocking presence, but you know what? You know, if we see the Fox that can get 60 and 40, and Monk the way he played the last two games with Fox out, that, and I loved DeRozan last night, that's a good team. And, you know, it almost felt like there was some panic. And but that happens in our league. Now, with Doug, I can remember sitting with him in the green room at NBC Sports Bay Area. And I knew him when he was a player, and he, you know, he said, Coach, I got this itch. You know, I think I'd like to get into coaching. I said, well, you better talk it over with your wife and with your kids. And, you know, he was doing a good job up there on TV, and also he's on the radio. And, he and I conversed, and he said, I think I'm going to get a crack to get on the bench. And I said, well, listen, you always gave it your best on the floor. Give it your best here. He's a terrific guy, and players respect him. And so I texted both of those guys within this last week. And, you know, here's Doug. Look at now they're starting to win. Don't you just look at them and they're playing harder?
They are.
That's my thing. I look at them, and no matter what we say, when you make a coaching change, the first couple games for the new guy, you get an unbelievable effort. It's like the first grade teacher yelling, recess, time to go out and play in the backyard, and everybody's playing hard. Before that, you're kind of just walking out, and it's raining out, and that kind of thing. And so he's got them going good. Now, I know they're going back east. We'll see how things go back there. But, you know, I've got them in that four or five some there, in that play-in territory. And, it's just a tough business. But he's handled it well.
Yeah. Again, time to head out back to the phone lines, 888-957-9570, if you want to talk to us. Let's start with TK in Napa, who wants to talk about Steve Kerr. What's up, TK?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well.
How are you? Doing good, thanks. You're just talking about Doug Christie and what a great job he's doing. And, you know, with all due respect to Steve Kerr, he's had a team of veterans for years and multiple championships. You know, and over the past couple of years, he's had a younger team that he's had to develop and not had success. What do you see as the issue there? Is Steve not a coach that's willing to develop these young guys? He's got inconsistent rotations. Yeah. You look at guys that play 22 minutes one night and they play six the next, right? So what do you guys think about that?
I got to tell you, I love where you live, because I can just taste the wine. Let me tell you something Hubie Brown told me about 40 years ago. Great players make great coaches. Now, what the heck simplistic statement is that? If you got great players, you look like a great coach. When you got players that aren't so good, you can draw up the best plays in the world, and you're not going to get it done. And this was a great start by this team at the beginning of the year. And we all drank the juice and believed that, wow, this is unbelievable. It's going to be great. Well, with injuries and whatever, they've come down to earth. And you know, coaches get labeled. Now, he's had a decade where he just the best. And listen, you don't, as a coach, you don't hand players minutes. You don't say, okay, Kuminga, okay, Wiggins, you're getting 34 minutes a night. I've expressed my frustration with both of those guys. You got to show me night in and night out. One, it's the work ethic. It's the commitment to defend. It's to rebound. It's to move and run the floor. Then all the scoring falls into place. And frankly, that consistent kind of stuff has not been there. After Steph Curry, there's a big drop. And that's not Steve Kerr's fault. You can't coach the ball going in the hoop.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Sometimes shots just have to go in. Thanks for the call, TK. Let's move to Bob in Reno. I love Reno. What's going on, Bob?
Me too.
Hey, what's up, Katie? What's up, Gary? How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great in Reno. Just want to ask you guys, you know, the Warriors are going on this four-game road trip, and, you know, road trips are never easy.
Yep.
But what do you think the Warriors got to do against Detroit? I know Ivy's out, but I know the Warriors got a lot of game-time decisions coming into this one. What can put them over the hump to make them 19-18 going into that game on Thursday?
Well, that's good stuff up there in Reno. You're with my old pal Steve Alford coaching up there. He was with us when the Warriors in the early 90s. And it's cold up there. I've been talking to my friend Frank Pallero, and he's using four blankets in his recliner. I got to share with you, Detroit, boy, I like the job that the Bickerstaff has done there. Now, you look at what's gone on in Cleveland, and you say, well, geez, he wasn't that good there. Well, first, he's a quality guy. I loved his dad. I knew him 45 years ago. And I think he's done a heck of a job there in Detroit. And I love the way Cunningham is playing. Ivy was playing pretty darn good before he broke his leg. And to have Dern and Stewart, those are big, big, tough guys. Good move by the front office, bringing in Harris and Hardaway, veteran guys. And it's a team that's physical, really physical. So how do you deal with that? You move the ball and move people. And if you do that and make stops and get in the open floor, you negate the physicality that they're going to play with.
That's great stuff there on the Pistons, Saint. And Bob, thanks for the call in Rito. I mean, let's talk a little bit about this Detroit team since we're there. I mean, the Pistons, they're on fire right now. They've won 7 of 8 entering Wednesday. They were up 14 against the Nets. I'm going to double-check the score there. Has that one gone final? No. They're up 20, though, with 5 minutes to go. So they're going to be above 500. They're going to be 19-18. Right now, they're 18-18. You know what their record was through 36 games last year, Saint?
Well, they lost a whole lot in a row.
Yeah. 3-33. Yeah, they lost, I think it was 29 straight or something like that. I mean, it was brutal with a capital B and a capital R, a capital U, a capital T, a capital A, a capital L. But, I mean, this team is really turning around. Malik Beasley has hit the second most threes in the NBA this year.
Kev, you know who his brother is? Healed. They're the exact same kind of player.
Yeah.
You get them in there and they make their first two, you ride them. If they start missing like three out of four, come on over here by me and sit down here. You know, we need to make a little change.
Yeah. But
you're on about him. That guy, and he's getting a lot of minutes because of Ivy being out.
Yep, yeah, and Jaden Ivey was having such a good year until he broke his legs. I mean, you hate to see injuries like that, but there was the whole thing last year, Monty Williams not playing Jaden Ivey, like he should be getting minutes, this, that, and the other thing. He was playing this year, and he was averaging more than 17 points per game. You just hate to see him go down.
Well, Cunningham and Ivey are very physical, athletic players. They really are. And then you tie in these big guys. And, I like what they've done. They've turned this thing around, and it's terrific. And I think Luke Walton's there as an assistant. And they've just done a heck of a job. So it's going to be a tough place to get a win. You know what? They're learning how to win. They feel good about themselves right now. So good for them.
Yeah, no, that is not going to be an easy game tomorrow night, and especially since Jonathan Kuminga is not available. Now, this happened over the weekend. He sprained his ankle in the first half of the Memphis game. I mean, he was playing his last six games. Basically, he got called out for shot selection. I think it was after the win at Minnesota December 21st by Steve Kerr. And since then, the shot selection's been a lot better. He was producing the most he's really ever produced. He had the back-to-back 30-point games, setting career high, had the 34-point game. He had 13 points in the first half of this game, then comes down on Jake LaRavia as he was going up to block a shot. And for a team that whose offense has been fifth worst in the NBA over the last 21 games, this is a guy that they could ill afford to lose.
Yeah, it hurts because you felt good for the guy. Now, Kevin, you and I have talked about him a lot. We love the athleticism, the get out in the open floor, but in early offense, to put the ball on the floor and get in the paint, whether it's to finish or create for others, and really doing an outstanding job with it. And he had a couple nights. Listen, he's a scorer. I've complained that I'd like him to rebound more. I just think he's got a great frame to do it. And just make solid decisions in sharing the ball. But really positive. So now, I don't know, Kev, he could be out toward the end of the month.
Yeah.
Because it's a high ankle sprain. What's the difference? Well, look at your ankle and look below it. If the inflammation is down below it, it's a heck of a lot easier to treat than when it's way above the ankle. And, you know, it that's tough for him because he had to be feeling really good about himself. So that's a big loss because when you're putting a team together, he was emerging as your second scorer. I mean, we know what Draymond does, but we need to define a second scorer. And, you know, Wiggins to me has been up and down, And, you know, you're trying to look at the roster and saying, well, who else is it going to be? And, you know, there hasn't been any consistency in that regard. And that's a dilemma when you're coaching. And hopefully he comes back. It's going to be an interesting situation how all this moves forward, you know, with the trade deadline and what they're thinking about. Now's the time of year, Kev. You're on the phone every single day. And if I talked to you yesterday, I'm going to call you back in 2 days to see if you changed your mind. And we've got a whiteboard, and I've marked down every guy you said that you like on the Warriors. And you're going to write down who you like on my team. And we go back and forth, and then I get my cap guys in there and see if there's something we can do in it. If we don't, we're looking for somebody under the cap to make it a three-way deal. It's really a hectic but energetic time of the year because you're looking at all these teams in the West, and it's such a logjam, and you're saying, gosh, if I can just make a deal here, I don't have to go get Butler. But if I can just get a guy, I don't know, is it Vucevic? Is it Kessler? Is it Johnson, or with the Nets, or is there somebody that I can bring in that can just make us better, that we can challenge for the sixth spot, or at least move up to seven or eight? And that's what you're thinking about every day when you're in the office.
Yeah, it's a very interesting perspective that you're able to bring. I mean, how stressful is that as a GM?
It is. You know, every day you go home and say, gosh, you know, we're close. How can we talk them into doing this now? It makes sense for them. You know, when you're making deals in the NBA, years ago, I remember Nelly convincing Dick Vitale, who was coaching the Pistons, that Sidney Moncrief, because he had bad knees, would only play 2 or 3 years in the league. So Vitale passed on him. We got Sidney. And he made all pro 8 years and is in the Hall of Fame. And that's the kind of stuff that happened because we didn't have a lot of video. So now they're breaking everything down, and I got a Kevin Dana videotape of all the things that he does. I can analyze his shot and all this kind of thing. And I've done my homework, college people and other people around the league talking about you. But it's just, you love it. It's really an energized time. And the next thing you know, you got your owner coming around the corner. Well, hey, Kev, Mike Dunleavy, what do you got going? Anything going? And you feel a little heat there because you're saying that, you know, the owner wants to get something done. And listen, we know Joe Lacob likes to win. And yes, he'll step up if there's something good out there. That's what you love about him and his group. So Mike's burning, as they would say, burning the midnight oil, trying to get something going.
So you mean to tell me Dick Vitale didn't think Sidney Moncrief was going to be a PTP-er?
he took, remember, a guy named Kessler, the guy that played at Michigan? Is that his name? The guy, he does the TV for the Pistons. Is it Kessler?
I'm sorry, yeah. I don't
and,
know this one.
He was a journeyman player, and we rode that one all the way to the bank.
Nice. Huh. To celebrate MLK Day on Warriors ground as the Dubs face the Boston Celtics, the reigning champs, on Monday, January 20th, presented by Rocket Lawyer. First 10,000 fans get a Warriors hat. Get your tickets now at warriors.com or call 888-GSW-HOOP. Representatives standing by. We'll take a timeout. Come on back and wrap up Warriors Roundtable right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carrying a swallow carrying a coconut.
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
The WNBA is coming to Chase Center in May. The Valkyries' inaugural season, presented by Kaiser Permanente, kicks off May 16th. Learn more at valkyries.com. 4 months and 8 days away. I cannot wait. That will be a lot of fun. Hopefully tomorrow's game will be fun for Golden State. They got the Detroit Pistons on deck. We've talked about the Pistons. And then it's the Indiana Pacers on the back end of a back-to-back. And this is a Pacers team that wasn't playing super well when they were coming to town to play the Warriors, but they did beat Golden State. And now Indiana's won four of last five. So the Warriors might owe the Pacers after losing a close one at home, but this is not going to be an easy one, especially on the back end of the old B2B.
Well, Indiana, to me, loves to run. And when Halliburton is the Halliburton of last year when they were playing in the finals of the cup thing, he had a phenomenal run, and I'm saying, wow, this guy's going to just have a terrific career. A hamstring tear, and he's shown flashes lately, but not all the way back. But he's exciting, and I really like Mathurin. They can create pick and pops with Turner, and it's a good team. And Siakam's having a heck of a year. That's going to be a tough game and a back to back, and they're feeling good about themselves.
They really are. Let's head on out to the phone lines again. 888-957-9570 if you want to hit us up. Big Al in San Francisco wants to talk about how the Dubs can get better. What's up, Big Al?
Guys, good to hear. Thank you for taking my call. We all know what's happened recently, and this is a team that has a hard time scoring. But part of the problem is the personnel they're putting on the court at the same time. I'm a fan of Schroeder, but I'm not a fan of Schroeder on the court at the same time as Curry. It was my impression the team was going to get Schroeder to stabilize the second unit, and maybe that will still be the case. But right now, the spacing is kind of all whacked out the way I see it. And if the spacing's wacky and Curry's the only one who can really get his own shot, given that Kuminga's hurt and he's going to be out for another at least two or three weeks, they got to change this thing up because this is just a recipe for disaster. Not that this team is going to be going and playing in June anytime soon, but I'd like to see them change this up. And let's see if some of these younger guys, especially Moody, who tends to get on the court and stand in the corner and wait for the ball and not move without it. I want to see him play, and I want to see him move without the ball because he's not going to create things for other people, but he's going to hustle and he's going to get the 50-50 balls, and he's going to make a difference defensively. And if he moves, he can make a difference offensively too. But right now, the ball moves because the assist numbers are high. Even though Curry's are low, the other assist numbers are high. But nobody's moving without the ball. And you've got to, in this offense, if you don't move without the ball, it's a real problem. And they got to change it up. And if they don't change it up, we're not even looking to play in. We're looking about April 15th being the last day we don't go to Cancun.
And go fishing, right, Big Al? You know what? Very fair point, and I'm going to share with the consensuses around the NBA. The system that the Warriors run is not real conducive for Schroeder because his whole career, wherever he's been, when his good days with the Lakers, he's a pick-and-roll guy, and he's involved in the pick-and-roll, where the Warriors don't run a lot of pick-and-roll. So he's coming down, and you start playing with Steph, and maybe you think you got a little Steph in you when you don't. So it's been disappointing the way he's played. Hopefully he can start to play better, but I buy your point. Now, what has to happen then? Does Podzimski start to play better? Do you move Wiggins back there in that two spot and play Moody a heck of a lot more, like you're saying? You're joining the fan club with Kevin and I, with Moody. I don't know. I just got a feeling. This is going to be a good week and a half for him, and I think he's going to get some opportunities. And, yes, don't stand and take movies. We used to, this was way before your time, Kevin, but there was a guy named Cecil B. DeMille.
Yeah,
he was a great movie
director.
Can't
say I've heard of him.
And you just run the projector. You know how they used to, the old days, the hand went round and around and your video. Don't do that. Don't be taking movies. Move. I think good things will happen that way. But, Al, that's a very good breakdown. And I like the Big Al. You know, it
oh, yeah.
makes me feel good. I like that. Big Al. That sounds good.
Big Al and SF, we thank you for your call. Let's take a look at our upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. Of course, the Warriors are in Detroit tomorrow in the D, 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time here on 95.7 with Tim Roy on the call. Then the road trip takes them to Indiana for the back end of a back-to-back, hopefully some time to get that, what was that, that shrimp cocktail they have at St. Elmo's right there.
Oh,
3:30 air time, 4 p.m. tip time. That was your meal right there?
Oh, you got me there, buddy.
Then the road trip continues to north of the border at Toronto, Monday, January 13th, 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip time. Road trip concludes at Minnesota, Wednesday, January 15th, 4:30 airtime, 5 p.m. tip time on 95.7. Then they're back home to take on the Wizards on Educators Night, presented by Kaiser Permanente, 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call. So that's what's coming up. Listen to those names. I heard you doing a little oohing and aahing because, look, none of these teams are looking like NBA championship contenders. But, A, the Warriors aren't playing well, and, B, three of the four teams have at least been playing better as of late.
Yeah. Kev, that's very fair. And I know we're closing here, and thoughts and prayers go to Steve Kerr's mom, who lived in Pacific Palisades, and to J.J. Redick. He was renting a home there, and he also lost his home.
That's horrible.
He was getting fire alarm alerts on his phone. And imagine coaching the game, and you know what's going on back home with what's happening with your family. So thoughts and prayers with all those people down there. It's sad. My dad was a fireman, so I'm watching what's going on down there and just admiration for the efforts that all those people are putting forth.
Yeah, no, well said, Saint. Definitely just really tough to see what's happening down in the Los Angeles area with those big fires. Let's end this on a bit of a positive note. We've been talking about a lot of losing basketball, but I'm happy to report that the Santa Cruz Warriors are 5-0 on the regular season, and a couple of players have really been hooping as of late. Quinn Post, who's on a two-way contract with Golden State, he got his first career NBA points not too long ago. He's played in two games, made his debut against the Clippers down at Intuit Dome right after Christmas.
Nice.
Well, he has 57 points in his last two games, had a career-high 30 last night. He hit his first 11 shots in that game, and I think this is a guy who maybe next year could get some rotation minutes in the NBA. He was the number 52 overall pick by Golden State. And then Kevin Knox, who was the number 9 pick in 2018, has been absolutely balling. He had a career-high 39 points in a win over Iowa on Saturday. He was named G League Performer of the Week. And they're 5-0, and all of these games have been on the road. They're starting the regular season on a 7-game road trip. They finish it in Tempe against the Valley Suns on Sunday and Monday before Juan Toscano-Anderson in Mexico City Capitan has come to town on January 17th. But the C-Dubs doing their thing, Saint.
Well, hey, there's Steve's son doing a great job. And listen, give Knox credit. You and I did those TV games. This is a veteran guy. Don't lose faith in yourself. You got to believe in yourself. And I give him credit for going down there and reinventing himself and obviously doing a good job. And you know that I'm from Massachusetts, so any Boston College Eagle, I'm going to root for. So I'm really happy for Post. And in today's game, he fits. Pick and pop if you're the big. And so good for him and good for those guys.
Yeah, my color commentator partner, Joaquin Wallace, on the road games will say Quinn Post needs to work on that handle because in the Warriors offense, kind of, you know, that point Draymond kind of role. If he can get that down, because he is a pretty good passer, and I'm not going to say he's going to be Draymond Green. Nobody's going to be Draymond Green. But from an offensive perspective, if he could turn into a bit of a hub, that's another way for him to get on the floor because the trail post three is there for Quentin.
Nice.
He's skilled. And I've really liked what I've seen from him. So that'll do it for us tonight. A big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass, Marika Kleto and RC Davis on the Golden State side of things. For Saint, I'm Kevin Danis saying sayonara. We will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. 58-41. Darvin Ham's
says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.